Equality, all men are created equal. True or false? All men are created equal. That is the design. Whether you are a Bible reader, where the book of Genesis says that when God created the world, God created humanity in the divine image. Or you look at the DNA and see that all humans have essentially the same DNA. We are equal, but some people are more equal than others. FFFFFFF. Right? This is going to be a post/article I am thinking through as I am writing it. I don't already know what will come out of it. It is not meant to be racist, elitist, or anything like that. It is meant to be looking what is the truth about that statement in the Declaration of Independence, and what it means to you. I consider every person a person. So to me all men are a person. And yet, I measure stuff about them, and I hold the idea that the underlying design, the DNA is the same in all. Ha! And therein lies the mischief. There are many elements of the DNA, the type of genes that can be expressed or unexpressed. In the area of body, in the area mental, thinking, and in the area of spirit, spiritual capacities, which are like virtues. And although the plan is the same, the final product, the walking/talking man is different, often dramatically different. They are equal in the design, but not in some other ways. The differences can be born with, or developed through nurture or environment and habits. I know nothing about the body type genes. That is not my interest, not something I want to deal with. My area of expertise is spiritual aspect of the DNA. For about a decade I produced unsustainable results by not knowing about certain genes that are supposed, by design, turn off and turn on at a certain point in time, for everybody. Just look at pictures of human fetus going through the phases we largely associate with different species. One thing, the tail that at some point turns off is particularly jarring. It seems that without those by design genes, if they didn't turn off or didn't turn on by themselves, they make it impossible for a person to maintain spiritual capacities, even if and when I turn them on for the person. For example, there are two genes that are supposed to turn off around age 3, when the child can intellectually get that they are separate beings and they are supposed to do things for themselves. Two genes. One of them was still on for most of my students, both of them was still on for the rest. Only one person tested that both genes were off, as they were supposed to be by design. People who had higher education and were successful at it were all had one of those genes in the off position. While people who didn't successfully complete higher education and worked with what they learned had mostly both of those child genes on. So it seems that some behavioral and mental/intellectual capacities depend on the one child gene being off. So training can cause those spiritual capacities open up and activate through rigorous use, what it takes to complete a higher education program. While the other child gene. And this is pure speculation. The other child gene seems to keep a person on the right/wrong binary thinking, binary worldview level, stuck. So it is possible that someone who is, for example, a brilliant scientist, engineer, or doctor is also on a child level of obtuseness, emotional immaturity, seeing everything in black and white, right and wrong. As long as that second child gene is still on, no spiritual capacities can stay on, or used. For example, the sight capacity, the ability to see accurately, astutely, far and wide, even below the levels of visible is a capacity that I have opened up, as an experiment, to a group of people a year ago. It feels like it was a decade ago. The challenge was called Validation Challenge, and the assignment was to see something to validate about another person, random, or familiar. Didn't matter. To see something, to notice something, one needed to first look, and see. Something, anything worth acknowledging. I turned on the sight capacity for every participant daily, and measured certain aspects, like how much of their self-concern occupies their view, the strength of character, etc. One person did a whole lot more work than others. She did collages to find hundreds of pictures to talk about joy, grief, fatness, patterns, etc. The collages are pieces of art, I have three of them framed. Beautiful. At the peak she used the sight capacity to 10%, meaning not at all fully. Her vibration rose to 280. But then, when she stopped using the sight, she went back to a sullen 3-year-old who complained that the world doesn't make her happy. That paragraph from Bernard Shaw is one of my guiding lights that helped me distinguish that my knee-jerk reaction to life is being personally offended, both ridiculous and disgusting. This is the true joy of life, to be used by a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, to be thoroughly worn out before being thrown on the scrap heap, to be a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances complaining that life will not devote itself to making you happy. And here is another quote. It's dramatic, at least it was for me. The soul's one and only path for escape from the black hole of true misery. Purpose. That purpose and meaning relies on one common denominator. Responsibility. And it was true. Responsibility led to purpose, and purpose led to meaning. It was as easy as that, almost silly in its simplicity, though harder in execution. So, from these insights I have concluded that one of those child genes, unless it's off, makes it impossible for a person to pull responsibility to themselves. And thus become a person, thus have a purpose, meaning, and a life and self that they can love. Without responsibility they cannot see that there is nothing wrong in the world. That all that is seen is wrong by virtue of you saying so. At this point of this experiment, adjusting your actual DNA to match the original design more and more fully, my next experiment is to see first if I can help people, grown-ups who lived with their child genes for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years learn to take on what belongs to them as theirs. AKA responsibility. Most important of those, if they can see, fully, that the wrong they are stuck with is their creation. In Sunday's Inner Authority the results seem to be 50-50. But whether it is sustained, whether people are able to see that when they are not in a class setting is waiting to be seen. The distinction responsibility is sorely missing from our culture. I say it is because 99% of humans living today have at least one of their child genes still on. So most people look at responsibility as something that is imposed upon them. A duty, an obligation, a burden. Instead of privilege. So, returning to the sentence from the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal is both true and not true. The DNA tree was created and we all share it, but the genes can be on or off, that we don't share it. And that creates huge differences, both individually, and culturally. In cultures where children are not coddled, where they need to do chores from an early age, they lose, at least, one of their child genes. In societies where coddling is the right thing to do, are the most unhappy societies. Because people at any age still expect to be coddled. One of those child genes can be called the entitlement gene. Where people interpret the sentence from the Declaration of Independence as a right to have the same. Without doing the same. Where equality is the communistic equality, it doesn't matter your output, you'll get given the same as the other. I lived in Hungary till age 34. A year or so before I left, a new law was passed where people suddenly could create private enterprise. Nothing like that before that. I created a land development company, and recruited staff. It turned out that none of those I recruited were used to working. So they continued not working. I left really soon after that. It was intolerable, and of course the company would have gone kaput. Paying people for no work does that to a company. So yeah. And if you look, most people you know, maybe yourself, expect to be paid for next to no work. Because. Why is that? While I am working on this whole issue, I am not able to adjust new people's DNA. It would be too many people to pay attention to. But that doesn't mean I don't want to offer something to everyone. One of the lurking invisible dynamics that is very useful to know, and it is also a great way to see to what degree you live in the binary dimension of life, the basement of your being, is the racket. The racket is always working when you are not happy, or when you are overly vested, and anywhere in between. The visible part of the racket is a complaint. Expressed or unexpressed, obvious or not obvious, whenever you don't feel happy, at peace, whole and complete, there is a complaint there somewhere. And with the complaint comes a predictable bodily sensation, and maybe even some predictable words. As I am writing this, my bodily experience is tight chest, mild nausea. And the words are it is hopeless. Unless you have a keen sense of hearing, feeling, you'll miss yours. It's hopeless is what Jenshin the Bach energy says. And normally it immediately drops what seems hopeless. Jenshin is my core Bach profile. I am called to act on the it's hopeless many times in a day, in every area of life, health, relationships, my work. Everywhere. The art is to recognize it and refuse to obey it. The art is to hear that it's hopeless, or whatever your mind is saying 100 times a day, and hear noise. Not ignore it, not resist it, but hear it as noise. What I haven't said before, because I didn't know it, is that every racket has its root in wrong. Unrecognized as unreal. It may be easy to see that every time you complain, what is being said, in generic terms, is there is something wrong. With you, with them, with it. And every time you say or hit on wrong, your Bach core energy starts the feeling. And the racket is starting. So you see, it is really worth studying the enemy, which is mainly the racket. I have a recorded course, 4 parts. And with this new insight I see that adding the fifth is a good idea. And in the new Live Create a Turning Point workshops I'll help you identify your typical feeling/emotional response to wrong. So you can gain power. Every session, if you are willing to come to more than one, will help you identify a new face of that racket. Eventually, if you follow up on the discovery in your life, you can raise your vibration to 500. Which would make you 1 in a billion. But you can. Here is a link to buy the racket course. It gives you a master degree level knowledge. And the workshop will turn it into personal and really really applicable to your life. Get the racket course. Go to www.yourvibration.com/racket. P.S. Knowing your core Bach profile hasn't proven useful. Until you know how and why and what way the racket uses it, it is just nice to know, but not useful.